Don't feel real capable in myself this evening. But I know the Lord is able to open up the Scripture and our understanding and deal with our hearts tonight. I'd like for us to turn, with, if you don't mind, over here to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. We'll start reading in the 26th verse. It's a familiar passage of Scripture to most of us. It says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world." Maybe you ought to start up above in the 24th verse. It says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." After this. We find above this particular verse a very brief description of what happened when Christ came. He came into this world and paid that price for you and I that we might be saved. He paved the way where we can have access to our Heavenly Father. He's promised to be a high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmity and all of those things. And we look down in this 27th verse. It says, "It's appointed unto man," or unto men, "once to die." Unto mankind. All of us know that we are mortal creatures, and sooner or later our time is going to come that we have to cross over into eternity. There's a comma there in my Bible, and then it says, "After this, the judgment." So I'd like for us to consider this, after this. A lot of you probably tonight are thinking about after this service, what you're going to do. Maybe you're planning on having a hot dog. A lot of the young people have played some volleyball after the evening service across the road over there. So after this time right here, we have something in anticipation. After the circumstances that you're in right now, I'm sure that all of us have been in a place or a time in our life that we didn't like this. We didn't like exactly where we were at. I can remember those times myself of thinking that schoolwork would never end. Of thinking that the young lady that I'd asked to marry me would never say yes. Those times of this seem to be very protracted. And there are times in our lives that we want the this to last a long time. When our children are small and they look up to us and put their little arms around our necks, there's something so refreshing about that. When they respond to us, we want that state to last perpetually. At times we do. So I want us to consider this evening where you're at. This. After this, there's going to be something else. After this. I don't know where your state is with the Lord, but that's what this is all about. That's what we keep the lights on for, and that's why we provide the maintenance and repairs around these grounds for. The conversation and seeing one another and renewing acquaintances is valuable to us, and we enjoy that. But that's not the main focus. The main focus is the condition of our souls. So I would like to invite you to consider where you're at right now, tonight. This state that you find yourself in, is it one that you're comfortable with? Is it one that you have anticipated being in at this stage of your life? This frame of space of time that you find yourself in here tonight, how is it with your soul? It says, after this, the judgment. A reckoning time. After the time that you find yourself in right now, what do you involve yourself in? Are you so caught up in maybe an occupation or a career that there's no time for God? There's going to be something coming after this. Are you so distracted by searching for fulfillment in other things? We've already had someone tell us that fulfillment is being with the Lord and in a proper relationship with Him. But after you're in those experiences that you think that this is it, there's always something that follows that. There's a scripture that tells us that the joy of the Lord, I believe, maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. I may have misquoted some. Blessed is, all right, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. So where you're at tonight, is the blessings of the Lord going to follow you? Or is there going to be something else? Is it something that you're apprehensive about, this, after the state you're in right now? What's coming next for you? Do you have children that are growing up and moving out of the house? Do you have a career that's coming to a close, and after this, I'm going to enjoy retirement? After I complete my education, I'm looking forward to entering the workforce. Where you at? Then there's the other verse in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And I believe it's down about the 12th verse. 1 Corinthians 13. It says, for now we see through a glass darkly. Not really able to see clearly maybe what the outcome is. The state that you find yourself in and what you're incorporating in your life this day, this past year, maybe the past 2 or 3 years. Sometimes it looks kind of vague as to what the outcome will be. It says, now we see through a glass darkly. Where you're at today, the things that you're incorporating in your everyday life, in your attitudes, your dispositions towards God, those things that you're ingraining in your character, I'll tell you, sometimes it looks a little dark or a little gloomy or a little obscure as to what they'll turn out to be. But this verse says, but then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. But then, after this, after tonight, after this meeting, after this year, then what? It says, then, but then, face to face, accountability. No way to squirm out. No way to offer excuses. Maybe the this for you is full of excuses. I'll take time for God later. Maybe it's, I don't feel like God should have such an important part in my life. Maybe that's the this for you tonight. But then is going to come. And when then gets here, it's going to be face to face. We're not going to have the opportunities to push it on out in the future. We're not going to have the opportunities to make remedies for the things that we could have done when we had this with us. We're not going to be able to come back to the setting that we have tonight. We're not going to be able to come back to this then. We're not going to be able to come back to where there's a window of opportunity if we don't like the results. And we can't afford to lose. We can't afford to lose. I'm desperate to meet God's approval this day, this year, this meeting. Because after this, the then is going to come. After I depart this place, I'm going to go back to our everyday life. And sooner or later, I'm going to come to the ultimate then, face to face. Oh, I'm going to be face to face and meet the enemy of my soul, and he's going to contend with me and try to rob me of any victories I gain in this meeting. But sooner or later, I'm going to come to a time that I'm going to be face to face. Then what are you going to do? What will you do? If you had to go tonight, how would it be to be face to face with your Maker? If then comes for you at the end of this service, would it be well with your soul? That's the question. After this, we're going to be face to face after this life. I'd like for us to turn, simple little thought this evening, 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. The first verse says, "We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." To receive something in vain would mean that I don't count it very valuable. It would mean that I discounted or disregard the impact it ought to have in my life. I think about those that have come to this place over the years and have not truly received Jesus Christ into their life. It says here, "We then as workers together with Him beseech you also." Beseech is an earnest petition. There's an earnest petition from the people of God. And I trust from the Spirit of God in this setting that we have, in this meeting this year. There's an earnest petition and desire that you wouldn't just treat the mercies of God in a vain manner this year. Maybe last year you did, but this year, consider. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of this opportunity. Notice what it says. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now, this day, now is the time, is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted. This is an opportunity. There are opportunities that sometimes present themselves to us in a very brief manner. This is your first time here. I trust it won't be the last. But if it was the last, are you going to take advantage of this opportunity? Because after this, there's things that could leave us in a state of question, in a state of lack, of want, of unpreparedness. After this, it says, is His judgment. But then, it says, there's going to come a time. But then, we're going to be face to face. Are you prepared to be face to face? Reality checks are a little bit harsh sometimes. We get down to the point that we realize what we've been doing is going to be tested. We might think and in our mind plan how we're going to do it when our time comes. If we're thinking about material things or temporal activities, we may think that we know how we're going to handle life and how we're going to handle situations. But then there comes the time that we're face to face with reality. There's no squirming out of it. There's no coming back and redoing it. It's there it is, right in our face. Mistakes that we have made is not too much we can do when it's all said and done. We're face to face with it. We're going to have to contend with it. There's nothing like coming to the end of something and being after the state of this and coming face to face with the reality and being successful. That's a sensation and a feeling that it's hard to replace. I remember the day that I graduated from high school, thought it wouldn't ever come, like a lot of young people. And I felt successful that day. I felt like I had achieved something, and I had. And you have too if you've reached that milestone in your life. But after that, real life set in. I met many things face to face. Many things face to face. There's been a lot more this's, if that's proper word, come along. There's been a lot more of them that has presented themselves. There's been a lot more opportunities that's come my way. And I've had to be face to face with the end result of those two. But it says today is a day of opportunity. For what? For a hot dog? For a volleyball game? For a little conversation? Oh, it's an opportunity for more than that. And I can't twist arms. And I don't have the ability to cause you to do the right thing. But I wonder if you would stop just a moment and consider the state of your this day. Where are you with the Lord? It doesn't take a lot of explanation. I would venture to say that a good majority of us, when we came to these grounds, understood if we were lost, understood if we didn't know the Lord like we ought to. So I want to ask you, are you willing to pass on by this opportunity too? I'll read the verse again for you. He says, "For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time." Now, what are you going to do with this opportunity? Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't pass this opportunity. Don't allow the devil to cheat you out of an opportunity to convert this this time, this place, this presence that I trust the Lord will hover down over you tonight. Don't allow this opportunity to go unheeded. Don't allow it to slip through your fingers. Don't go back and face reality without taking this opportunity. Because one of these days, then we'll be here. One of these days. Can you imagine those that have went on before us? And wish they could come back to a night under a tabernacle. What some of us call locusts chirping in the trees and a gentle breeze flowing under here. I wonder how many have left this place. Left this type of atmosphere and faced God face to face. And wish they could have come back to this place and this opportunity. I desire your prayers for myself. I don't want to bypass the opportunities the Lord gives me to draw closer to Him. I don't want to face the thens without taking the opportunities of this time in my life. You pray for me.
The song that we sang was very solemn. And this, like we heard, this is now. But we are dealing with a God that is a real God. I believe we all believe in God. He knows our life. He rules. And we don't. The scripture says, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. We don't have the say-so of how long we're going to be here. We don't have the say-so of what's going to happen tomorrow. You are a fool to think that you have the power in your own hands. A fool says, it doesn't matter. I can do it. I got my life and I'll get it done when I want to. This message, we need to be stirred. We don't have control. It's not what we think is right that's going to matter at the judgment. What I think, well, I don't believe that, and I don't believe that way. And is that what's going to judge you, what you think? No, we know better than that. It's not what we think that's going to judge us. It's what God's Spirit is talking to you at this moment that is going to judge you. And if you refuse that Spirit, you will walk out of here a different person than when you came in. Because you have rejected the Spirit of the Almighty God speaking to your soul tonight. That's what the song says. Your heart will grow harder because you have rejected His Spirit. You are not your own God. There is a God that rules in the sky. The life to live is a life that is ready to meet Him. Then you begin to live. When you live a life that you're ready to meet Him, that is truly living. I beg you tonight to not leave and think that you have control of your own life. And that you can choose. If the Spirit is dealing with you tonight, it is time to move. It is time to do what the Spirit is pleading The Almighty God of heaven is sending His Spirit to deal with your heart. And you think you have the ability to say yes or no and not that not change you? Dear ones, we need to consider tonight. There has been young people that can go out of here and say, well, I can handle sin. I remember a young person that said that. I can handle sin. I think I'm big enough. He's broken today. A broken man. Lost everything. Health, family, everything. He couldn't handle sin. Dear ones, we need to consider tonight. We need to realize it's not our own thoughts that's going to stand before us at the judgment. It's the Spirit, the Word of God, that we are going to have to be judged for. Not what we think. We can't choose our own way. Let us move tonight as the Spirit deals with us. Let us be judged by His Spirit now and not at the judgment.
Well, months ago, we had some tornadoes move through the area. And I happened to be taking one of our neighbor boys home. They had moved here from Bogota, Colombia, about 3 years ago, I believe. And it didn't register at first their concern, because I'm used to it. You know, tornadoes go by every once in a while, and we just go on. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't. As I was getting ready to leave, it was pouring down rain real hard, and they acted real concerned, and I'm thinking, well, I'm just going to get a little wet. But I found out that they had gotten news over the radio or somewhere or another that there was a tornado watch, and they were all huddled inside an inner room, in the safest place they could find. They were taking it very, very serious. I made a mistake, thinking about it later. I made the mistake in reassuring them that the conditions weren't quite right for a tornado right then, trying to reassure them. But the point I'm getting across, or I'd like to get across, the folks that live around here are conditioned to tornadoes. You follow where I'm going with this? The tornado siren goes off at the bottom of our hill. It hurts my ears, but I'm mainly thinking I wish that thing would just be quiet. I'm not really worried about the tornado. See, I've never been hit by one. That's dangerous. It could cost me and my family my life if I'm not serious about it. In fact, a tornado went just north of town here a couple of years ago. It was an F4, like 5 minutes from our house, just north of us. And I was outside looking at the sky. The tornado was blaring. The trees were tall enough I couldn't run for cover if one had popped over the tree. It was rather foolish. The reality is, sometimes we treat our souls the way I treat tornadoes. How many of us would be willing to be an astronaut on the space shuttle, one of the space shuttles, and the little video camera reveal a tile that has been seriously compromised? How many of us would be willing to ride that thing home? We know the consequences, don't we? Absolutely no one, unless they were wanting to commit suicide, would ride that thing home because it would burn up. We know that. How many of us would be willing to get on a train and take off in the middle of the night, go around blind curves over hills, knowing that around one of those curves or over one of those hills, the tracks are out? We don't know where, but we know it's out. How many of us would do it? None of us. Brother Dan preached a short message, partly, I think, because why does it need to be longer? There's a reality. The bridge is out for all of us. We just don't know where it's at. That's the cold reality. But because, remember the scripture says, because the judgment of God is not executed speedily. I can't remember the rest of it. We just go on our merry way. We treat it like the tornado sirens that come around every fall and every spring, never hits us. The reality is, all of us have to face a judgment sometime. We just don't know exactly when. I have an aunt that just got here this evening. One of her sons, one of my cousins, drives a train for the Burlington Northern Santa Fe. You know, this happened to him one time. The tracks were out. She could tell a story better than I can, but several years ago, he was pulling a 100-car train, going up a blind hill, around a curve, mountainous area. A little voice told him to start slowing down. And I think he maybe told him again. Thankfully, he listened to that voice and started pulling power off, going up a grade. You're not supposed to do that, but he did. His conductor got onto him, kind of, and Jeff said, well, we are tonight. We're slowing down tonight, or whenever, I don't know what time of day it was. They got around the blind curve. What did they see? The tracks were out. The tracks were curled up. Of course, they hit the brakes then and barely got it stopped. If the Lord is speaking to you that the tracks are out, maybe it's for a reason. The reality is they are out. I can't tell you how far ahead. Most of us will come around that curve or top that hill and see it. And now the question is, am I ready or not?